Hi, I'm Sally Padgett. I'm the pastor here at First English Church, where Miriam Vargas resides in Sanctuary. She's been here since end of June of 2018, so it's been a little bit now, and we got involved in this just because this is a issue of our faith. This is what we believe in. We believe the Bible is loaded with scriptures that tell us to welcome our neighbor, to think of the alien, to welcome the alien. So when we heard about this opportunity, we felt it was part of our faith to reach out to Miriam, give her shelter here, help her as much as we can, and walk along with her on this journey.
Could you say talk about how your faith shapes your work? Your activism?
Jesus was always the one who would go out, and that's what he did. He walked around for 3 years and always welcomed the people that were hurting, the people that were sick, the people in need. And that is, you know, when he literally says, everything the Christian believes boils down to two things, love God and love your neighbor. And so if we're not doing either of those things, we're not doing anything. The Apostle Paul says in Corinthians that if you are not loving, you are a noisy gong, and everything you do is it has no value or purpose. So for us, taking our faith seriously, this is just the part of that journey, making sure Miriam feels welcome, making sure that she feels safe, making sure she's able to raise her children in the best, you know, be here with her, not having to take her children back to Honduras, but actually being here, being able to be a mother. Again, these are all faith issues. It's not a political issue. It's a human issue, and therefore a faith issue.
But at the same time, to apply love, we should make sense and examine the larger processes going on in terms of trade policies or in terms of the drug war, whatever it may be that affects people's lives around the world, and which has some of the consequences for what happens in this country that you can have the spirituality, but it's when it's applied, it takes into account history and economics and so many other factors.
Yes, of course. Faith is always lived outside of a church. You come in church on Sunday morning to get the strength to go out into the world and meet people where they are at. And so, yes, we're dealing in the world the same as anybody else's. The faith leads us into this world, into the politics, into the brokenness, into all the things that are going on in the world, the good, the bad, the ugly. And so faith is just a part of that. It's not that we're removed from it. We are just more into it. And our job as Christians is to accompany folks on that journey, to not do things for them, but to accompany them where they can, to be involved, to be that voice for the people that are marginalized, to speak out. So again, it can take, faith can play out in everyday life in many different ways, in many different nations. And it's not about one thing. It's always about wherever people are in need, that is where the Christian is supposed to be.
Do you think there's something that spirituality brings to community organizing and social movements that we oftentimes don't get from political ideology by itself?
I think for me, the biggest thing that faith brings is the idea of hope. You know, sometimes when you're dealing in these very dark situations, or you're dealing in politics where people are so divided nowadays, or you're dealing with you know, all these things, that just seems that barriers are being put up, or maybe somebody's not listening. Hope is just the Christian thing. We are hoping, and we are hoping in a faith beyond us. It doesn't just rely on us. And for me, that's a good thing to think, is that, yes, God is out there and God is on this journey with us. Not that he's necessarily going to just snap his fingers and make everything okay, but God is ultimately the author of all things. And so we take hope and strength in that. And so as we're working on this issue, we can do what we are called to do, but then ultimately we rely on our faith, and we rely on hope, and we rely on God to open up doors to see us through, and even when time goes bad, to mourn with us, to walk along with us, and to comfort us.
Do you think there's also faith allows a process of working on ourselves as individuals, where we can, I know in my own life, I've had to work on my own self-righteousness, my own egotism. And as I looked around me, it seems like self-righteousness and ego, it has alienated would-be allies. And that if we work better with one another, then we can build a movement more effectively because we're not fighting each other. We're stronger. We're getting our own house in order, so to speak.
I mean, Jesus always says, first you have to take the plank out of your own eye before you can help, you know, to do anything else or to point fingers. So, yes, we always, you know, it's that humility piece, always staying humble, always putting your neighbor first. The Christian message is first love God, and so God is above you anyway, so you're already humbled before God. And then it is to reach out to your neighbor and put your neighbor first above your own needs. So if you're living out the Christian faith, there's really no room for the self-centered ego, the greed, the, you know, all those things that kind of play into it. Yes. So faith is a huge part of just the self-sacrifice, taking the time to think of somebody else before yourself. And you can't, you literally cannot do that unless you do your own self-worth, because it's just innate in us to always want to put our own interests first. And so faith teaches you how to go about making sure other people are heard, seen, and come before you.
Yeah, during the regarding the Black Civil Rights Movement, a lot of historians have spoken about the role of Black churches, that it was instrumental in a big way for the social movement building that occurred. Is there something similar going on now?
I would hope so. We have a lot of churches that are involved in this. You know, this is a faith issue. But right now, actually, there's a lot of Christians that don't believe in this issue of immigration. They believe that, you know, well, people should do it the right way, or they broke the law. And so as Christians, we have to support the law. But the reality is, if we're all following God's law is first, and God's law is totally in support of, you know, again, it's all over scriptures to love your neighbor, to support the alien and stuff. So, yeah, this is the Christian call. This is what we're supposed to do.
Well, you could even say that, Jesus with the coin, render unto Caesar, that what he was talking about is, in some ways you acknowledge governmental authority, but it allows for a lot of room of defying, you know, civil disobedience, not obeying the governmental authority if there's a higher law, because I know Martin Luther King invoked that.
Yeah. Well, and Jesus was actually a rebel, and that's why they killed him. I mean, because he was doing things against the powers to be, and they didn't like it. But yes, Jesus says give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but he also says give to God what is God's, and what is God's but everything. So yes, you are to, you know, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans too, we are to acknowledge civil authorities, but there are times when we have to choose between God's law and man's law, and in this church we've chosen God's law.
To what extent are you working with other faith leaders within and beyond Christianity?
Anytime we have Miriam meetings, there's usually people from all faiths. There's people who don't have faith. You know, it's not like this is just a faith thing. This is not like it's a secular thing. It's the blending of everybody coming together, and we welcome all faiths, all people, Jewish, Buddhist, you know, Muslim, you know, whoever is passionate about this issue. And that's the wonderful thing, is it takes all of us. It's a diverse issue. It's not just, you know, a Christian issue. It's not just a Muslim issue. It's all people coming together, whether you have faith or whether you don't have faith. We're all human. And again, that's where it all goes back to, is this is helping another human being. And that story is as old as time. We have to help each other as a society. If we're not helping each other, it's going to get ugly really fast. So we all have to be looking out for our neighbor. And it just so happens that Christianity aligns with that. And so that's where we go.
Fear. How about fear? Just to speak from my own experience, is that one aspect of social movements and activism, or if it's protests or other forms of activism, there's that element of fear that I'm going to get in trouble, or things are going to get really bad. Maybe I should just keep my head down and conform and go along. Do you think spirituality can give us a better relationship to fear? We're naturally, as human beings, going to be afraid and in a dangerous situation. But do you think maybe like something like the Bible says, this, you don't want to live in the spirit of fear?
Well, actually, the Bible says that God and fear cannot exist together at all, and that perfect love casts out all fear. And so that perfect love that God gives us, we can't live our lives in fear if you're going to live out. God calls us out. And that's the whole thing about the resurrection. If you believe in the resurrection, you don't even have to fear death, and that's one of our biggest fears. But I still also believe that we live in America, and America is, I still believe in the power of freedom, free speech. And so, you know, if America is who America thinks it's supposed to be, I have no reason to be afraid, because this is part of of living out as American, being able to live and do what you want and live into that freedom. But if not, and you know, I can't sit and live my life as a Christian and also live in fear, because they don't go together. So I have to make a choice. And yes, you think about the things that could happen or could go wrong, but if your life is going to have any value, you have to take a stand, and you have to believe in something, and you have to risk in order to believe in something. So it's a risk that I'm willing to take.
So one quote from Cornel West and others as well is that justice is what love looks like in public, or that justice is the public face of love, however you want to phrase it. That could tie back to fear, that there seems to be an inverse relationship between fear and love, that if we love, as you were saying, there will be less fear.
Oh, I totally agree. And, you know, and that's just it, is you cannot love without one putting that person above yourself. If you're thinking of yourself, it's really not love. And then you can't love if you're afraid all the time, because fear is going to make you put yourself first again. And so you have to choose in life. You have to choose whether you're going to have love, or, and you're going to just do things to help the other, or you're going to sit in your corner and think of yourself and think of fear first. And I pity people, I really do, who are so afraid that they are unwilling to take a stand, because at the end of the day, if it was reversed and I was in Miriam's shoes, I would want people taking a stand and helping me and doing the things that I can't do for myself. And so I believe very strongly in this, and this is again just an issue that I hope all Christians take seriously.
So now there is a politics, or there has been maybe for some time, a politics of fear, where demagoguery or dividing and conquering people and distracting the public involves promoting fear.
Well, you control people through fear. The church has actually done it for a long time too, with the fear of hell. So, you know, it's a good way of controlling the masses, is giving them a common enemy to fear. And that's all Trump is doing, is he's giving the country a common enemy to, you know, and then it takes away some of the things from his, you know, he can say, oh, well, let's go fight this. It's the same thing with war. Whenever we go to war, we have a common enemy, and it brings people together, and it's power. You can really manipulate people through fear. And I mean, you look at communist governments, you know, and dictatorships, they've done it for forever. You control people through fear, and that's all that's happening right now.
Some people have said that to mobilize people, you need emotion. And then that would leave us then with a choice. We could mobilize people with fear, or we can mobilize people with the alternative to fear, which would be, some people think it sounds corny, but it would be love, or solidarity, or concern for your fellow humans or fellow earthlings.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, something's going to drive everybody. And right now it just happens that most of the world is in fear, and they do things according to fear. But it's always better if we do things according to love, or according to justice, or according to our conscience, or what is right. If we do what is right, things typically work out. And if we want a society, which I'm assuming most people want a society, and that's the thing we hear about immigration all the time, is people are worried about society being degraded and going downhill. But the reality is if fear is what's going to lead people, you know, to go downhill, if people do not stand up for what is right and instead cower in front of, out of fear and face of conflict or whatever, that's going to make society a lot more dangerous and scary than love ever would. Love is never going to lead people in a wrong direction.